You know I love to talk about religion on this show. I love to talk about the Pope. I love to talk about my own personal Judaism, Catholicism, Christianity, Episcopalian. I love it all. The evangelicals, love everybody here on this show. We even talk at length about the Muslim religion, and not only radical Muslim, radical Islam, but all sorts of aspects of the Muslim faith. So Sunday night is the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. We call it Erev Rosh Hashanah. It means the night before. Like Eve, you know, we say Christmas Eve, the night before, we call it Erev. So Erev Rosh Hashanah is Sunday night. And Rosh Hashanah is the new year. Rosh means head in Hebrew. Hashanah is the year. So it's the head of the year. So that begins for us. So I will not be working Monday or Tuesday. We observe it as a two-day holiday. So I will not be with you. And tomorrow's the high school radio rally. So I figure we better get a little Judaism in tonight, right? So Rosh Hashanah, what is Rosh Hashanah? Again, like I said, I'll give you a quick refresher and then we'll bring in our guest. It is basically the new year. We welcome in the new year, but it's a very spiritual time. It marks the beginning of the 10 days of awe. It is a period of self-reflection. And during that time, we're meant to atone for our past year's sins. And boy, did we screw up. Oh, we all did. And God knows we did. Oh, yeah, honey. You, me, everybody, the rabbi screwed up. We all screwed up. Trust me. And we're going to next year also. But we have to take these 10 days of awe and atone for our sins. Just acknowledge them and say we're sorry to ourselves, to the people that we've wronged, to God, the whole shebang. Okay? So that's what we do. Jewish tradition tells us that God decides a person's outcome for the year during the 10-day period beginning on Rosh Hashanah and ending on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is next week. It's next Wednesday. I'll be gone then also that day, Tuesday and Wednesday. And that is our day of atonement. Okay, we're supposed to repent. We're supposed to apologize. And we're supposed to pray that we are inscribed in the book of life for the next year. That is Rosh Hashanah. Okay, it's thinking about our sins. It's thinking about how to be a better person. But honestly, Rosh Hashanah is about being judgmental. It's about being judgmental of ourselves, of, I guess, the people around us. You know, everybody's judging themselves and how they can be a better person in the new year. I've asked Rabbi Yonason Goldson to join me again. He often joins me when we're talking about things that go on in the news that have some kind of spiritual aspect. So I thank him for being with me today. And I thought about this aspect of judgment during this time. And I wanted him to flesh this out for us. Because Rosh Hashanah, oh, by the way, also according to Jewish tradition, it was allegedly the beginning of the world. The world was created on Rosh Hashanah. So mankind is judged on the anniversary of our creation, the story of Adam and Eve, which is in Old Testament, it's in New Testament. You all know the story of Adam and Eve. So, Rabbi Goldson, I want to thank you first for joining me again tonight.
Well, thank you, Dana, for having me on again.
Let's talk a little bit about this aspect of judgment, because that's not so PC anymore. We're not supposed to be judging others. Oh, don't judge me. Let me live my life. So, but yet on Rosh Hashanah, we embrace being a judgmental person. Is that correct?
Well, it's this term judgmentalism has become such a catchphrase, and it seems like there are few things that are worse than being judgmental. Mm-hmm. So we really need to define our terms a little bit. And the truth is that everything we do, really, our whole lives we're making judgments. You know, what to wear in the morning, which way to turn when we come to an intersection, whether to speed up to get through the yellow light or to slow down and stop. Life is about making judgments, and in dealing with people, we have to make evaluations. Maybe that's a more politically correct word. But we have to decide how we're going to engage people, whether people pose a danger to us, a threat to us, whether they are in a position to help us. And at the same time, we have to recognize that we don't see the whole picture. When we engage other people, we don't always know what's going on behind the scenes. In fact, we usually don't know. And that's why the first statement that can be traced to the sages in the Talmud says, be deliberate in judgment. And while it's ostensibly talking to judges that they need to be careful to make sure they have all the evidence, all the proper testimony, they've vetted the witnesses, they've researched, they have the whole picture before issuing a verdict. But at the same time, it's relevant to all of us, because in the judgments that we make about others, we aren't supposed to take this attitude of don't judge. We're supposed to take the attitude of judge cautiously, because there are always going to be things that we don't know. If you see somebody doing something that appears to be wrong, you can judge the behavior as you see it and simultaneously look for explanations why this person might be doing it in a way that might cast the situation in a different light.
Give me an example.
Well, there's a story that that I'm particularly fond of, and it's supposed to be a true story, that a rabbi was passing through Grand Central Station, and he glanced into a restaurant, a little hot dog stand, and he saw a prominent member of his congregation sitting at the counter eating a hot dog. And as far as he understood, this person was a person who observed the laws of keeping kosher, and he was astonished that this person would be eating a hot dog.
A non-kosher hot dog in a restaurant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he started thinking, there must be some explanation for this. So he thought, well, maybe this person has an acute ulcer, and he felt a flare-up going on, and if untreated, this situation can actually be fatal. And maybe he had to go in and grab the first thing he could get to eat to save his life. This is what the rabbi said to himself.
Okay.
And it would explain it, but, you know, come on, let's be real.
That's a little far-fetched.
Yeah, it was too far-fetched. It was just too absurd. Every time he saw this individual, it bothered him. He just couldn't make peace with it. One day he gets a phone call that this individual is in the hospital, and he goes to see him. And he said, well, how'd you end up here? He says, oh, Rabbi, I've been suffering with this ulcer for so long now. You know, one time I had to go in Grand Central Station, I had to go into a non-kosher shop and have a non-kosher hot dog to save my life.
Oh.
And here the rabbi had come up with this, what he thought was absurd, far-fetched story that actually turned out to be the truth.
Okay. So we shouldn't judge. We shouldn't judge a book by its cover.
Well, in other words, we can't, in psychology, there's a phrase called compartmentalization, and it means that we can hold two conflicting ideas in our minds at the same time. And so we have to be able to acknowledge some behaviors are intrinsically bad behaviors. On the other hand, we have to be aware that we don't see the whole picture, and there might be mitigating circumstances that we don't know about. So when it's a person who deserves a presumption of innocence, or he deserves getting the benefit of the doubt, then we look for any possible explanation to excuse what he's doing. If you see somebody is engaged in the same type of corrupt or violent or hurtful or harmful behavior again and again, then eventually this person forfeits the right to deserve our giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Let's talk a little bit about how we judge ourselves. Now, is that different than the way we judge others? Because we give others, as you just said, a lot more leniency. They always deserve the benefit of the doubt. Then do we, because we judge ourselves on Rosh Hashanah, do we deserve the benefit of the doubt too?
That's an excellent point, because human nature is such that we always tend to be much easier on ourselves than we are on other people.
Sure, I didn't do anything wrong. No, come on, I had good reasons. My intent was good.
Right.
Sure.
It's different by me. I have an excuse.
Yeah.
Right? And the truth is, it should be just the other way around. We should be more strict on ourselves, and we should be more lenient towards other people. Because ultimately, what does it mean that we are being judged? It means that what we do matters. If you believe that this world just happened, and we're going to live, and we're going to die, and it's all going to burn out at the end of time, and there'll be nothing left, then really it doesn't matter how we act. But if you believe there's a larger purpose, and if you believe that there is a true judge who is looking down at us and who is evaluating everything we do, that means that everything we do matters. The way we speak to people, the way we act in public, the way we act in private, the way we are honest in our business dealings. If I get too much change from the grocery clerk or the cashier, nobody's going to know about it. But I know about it. Am I going to go return that change? Or I'm going to say, hey, it's my lucky day. I've got a couple of extra bucks. If we expect more from ourselves, then life is a process of constant elevation. We are refining our character, we're becoming better people, and that has a ripple effect. The better people we are, the better we affect others and spread goodness through the world. So by expecting more from ourselves, we actually benefit the world. And by remembering that there is a God who has expectations from us, who wants us to live noble, spiritual, meaningful, moral lives, then that tells us that everything we do makes a difference, and we have more reason to be careful in our own actions.
Because it's not just us judging us. Maybe there is something greater also that's keeping an eye on us.
Yeah, the best way to change the world is by changing ourselves.
Jonathan Goldson, fascinating conversation. I love chatting with you. Thank you for chatting with us about Rosh Hashanah and about this judgmentalism. I know that many people struggle with this, as we feel we're being judged by God during this time. So we appreciate you shaking it out. You made it sound kinder than many of us thought of it. So thank you so much for joining us. And Jonathan Goldson has a new book out. It is called Proverbial Beauty: The Secrets for Success and Happiness from Wisdom of the Ages, and it's everywhere, Amazon, everywhere. It's also listed on my CCO Facebook site. You can take a look at it there. Rabbi Goldson, thank you again for joining me.
And thanks so much again for having me.
You got it. Have a great night. I also heard a story today during this time, and I'll share a little more of my religion with you. Thank you for everybody, by the way, at the fair who came up and said they appreciate sometimes hearing a little bit about it. I feel like I'm Minnesota's Jewish friend. I'm like your token friend, so I would like to share with you. You have one. It's okay. We are during in the time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Book of Life is opened, and we are judged. And on Yom Kippur, the Book of Life is closed. And it was always, as a kid, this like image that on Yom Kippur day, oh, the book is getting closed. I hope I was good enough. I hope I prayed hard enough. I hope God inscribed me in the Book of Life. And it was this very scary and very palpable feeling that if I didn't do the right things, I wouldn't be inscribed in the Book of Life. And I went to a Torah study session today that put that in a fascinating perspective, because we live in a world where terrorists live year after year, where Hamas and ISIS and Hezbollah continue to thrive and live. And we think to ourselves, well, how did they get inscribed in the Book of Life? That's not fair. How did they get to keep going? And some good people, as we learned in our community today, some good people, that's it. Their life is over. They did not last through the next year. And I heard an explanation for it that was so perspective shifting that I want to share it with you. I'm going to do that right after the break. Welcome back. Jordana Green here. It is 10:25. We're talking a little bit about Rosh Hashanah, because I'm going to be off Monday and Tuesday. That is the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. It's the Jewish New Year, and I just wanted to share it with you. Many people ask me about my Jewish faith, and I really appreciate you asking and being interested, and I do want to share it with you. And I think many Jews struggle this time of year, because it is the new year, so it's a festive holiday, but it is a time of reflection. It is a time for us to look back on the past year, think about what went well, what didn't do well, what we'd like to do better, and like the secular new year, you know, January 1st, make resolutions, basically. Say, you know what, in this year, I can do this better. In this year, I can be a better person on this. In this year, I won't slander. I won't lie. I won't, you know, whatever you have done, and we've all done it. It is a time to acknowledge what we have done poorly and move forward with what we've done well. Another very, very, very visceral thing that happens during this time of year, these 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement that begins next Tuesday night, so I will be again off the air Tuesday and Wednesday tomorrow. And Yom Kippur is a fast day. We don't eat, and we pray all day, and we concentrate, and we atone for our sins. And we pray that we are inscribed in what's called the Book of Life, and it's pretty much how you would see it. That we haven't only judged ourselves in the past 10 days, but then we are judged by God, which was my conversation with Jonathan Goldson about being judged by God. It's, boy, that's a hard thing for us to think about. We don't want to be judged. We live in a world of non-judgmentalism. You be you, I be me. That's, you know, we're all good. You get to pick your gender and whatever you want. It's a world that we get to be who we truly are, our authentic selves. Yet my faith teaches that this is a time of judgment. And as a child, and hey, even as an adult, it's a scary time. Wow, I'm being judged. And I better pray really hard, because I really want to be inscribed in the Book of Life for another year. And then we think, and I learned in my Torah study session today, that bad people live through the next year and some good people die. And we think, well, how did that happen? They're good people. They should get inscribed in the book of life. And those are bad people and they should die. And the rabbi that I was learning with today described it this way. He said, there's life and there's living. He said, a lot of people are just living. They're getting through day to day. They're worried about their job. They're worried about their finances. They're always chasing the dollar. They're always running around like crazy. You know, they're not enjoying their life. They're not living it to the fullest. They're living day to day. They're getting through and they're getting by. And he said, is that really living? Is that really living? Is that the kind of life you want to enjoy? So maybe you have life. You are not enjoying all the good things in life. And he said, when you look at the evil of the world, when you look at the ISIS, I mean, when you look at the Hamas, and you look at Islamic State, and you look at some of the terrorists that continue to live year after year, you should ask that question, are they really enjoying their life? When you are constantly thinking about, who am I going to kill next? Who can I hate more? Who am I going to terrorize? How can I bring more evil into the world? Is that really living? Is that why God put us on this earth? No, not my God, not your God, not anybody's God. No, nobody's true God put us on this earth to breed hate. So is that really life? So yes, they may survive. They may live, but it's not a true life. So you question, or have they really been inscribed? Yes, they get to be alive. They get to be on this side of the soil. But are they really living? And boy, did he really change the way I thought about that. Honestly, it shifted me in a way. I thought, oh my gosh, that helps me reconcile why sometimes bad things happen to good people. And then evil seems to survive. So it gave me a shift. So I just wanted to share a little bit of learning with you because it helped me reconcile this time of judgment and what seems like a scary time sometimes in the heads of Jews as we are going into these holidays hoping to be inscribed. Nick in St. Paul is calling in. Nick, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Jordana. I just wanted to tell you, I'm not Jewish, I'm Christian, but real quick, in the Christianity faith, sometimes we judge people too, especially in the Catholic faith. But the other thing I wanted to tell you was, I've called in before and I'm blind and all that. Anyway, The other interesting thing was, so just for the heck of it, I'm a guy that likes to check out other religions, not to join them, just to check them out.
I like to check them out, too. I love talking about religion. I appreciate that. Thank you, Nick.
Well anyway, my thing is, I've been to a synagogue once, and it was very interesting because the singing was good, but it was interesting that the rabbi read the readings in Hebrew and English.
Ah, okay, good. So you could understand at least, thank goodness.
Right. And the fact that the service took 3 hours.
Yes. That's kind of a typical Saturday morning service. It's a long haul.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Jordana.
I appreciate that, Nick. Thanks for calling in. I love talking about religion. I'm so glad. I've been to church with many of my friends. I try to learn. I think that's a fascinating thing. I love that Nick went there and tried it. 3 hours. Yeah, that's sort of a typical Saturday morning service. I know sometimes they get hardcore, Nick, but God bless them for sticking through that, especially when it's in Hebrew. Appreciate that. Okay, that wraps up our discussion about Rosh Hashanah. Thank you so much for sharing it with me, and I hope we all learned something. I certainly learned something today, and I appreciate you joining me for that discussion. When we get back, I spoke with Todd Walker, because while I may be getting ready for the holiday this weekend, you may be looking for things to do. Oh boy, Todd has lined it up for us this weekend. You think, what am I going to do after the fair? Todd Walker will be back to tell you exactly what in just a moment. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Welcome back. As we do every Thursday night, we're here to check in with Todd Walker to see what he has in store for us. I know there are no more fun fair activities, but it still doesn't mean there's not plenty to do in and around the Twin Cities. But Todd, before we get into events upcoming, can we please discuss what you did yesterday? Because it was insane.
Well, yes, and I was one block away. I kept thinking maybe my dear friend Jordana will be down there cheering me on. Yes, I, for the North Star Boy Scouts Council, I rappelled off of the first of the U.S. Bank Plaza building, which is 330 feet in the air. Now, yeah, now all day long, I was kind of like, okay, I need to be downtown for this. I need to have this going on. I wasn't too nervous. And then I showed up and I looked at the building, and I was standing next to, because some of the players from the Minnesota United soccer team were out there too. And, you know, these are really young, hipster, good looking guys, all of them in great shape. And I'm looking at the building, think I'm really going to do this. So you climb up to the top. And the hardest part about it, Jordana, is you walk on the cross on the building, on the rooftop of the building, and then you just approach the scaffolding, crawling up on these small little steps, standing on the edge of the building, and I was frightened. I mean, it was one of those situations where I kept thinking, I can say no. I can leave now. And then they strap you all in after, I mean, they give you proper instructions. I mean, they're wonderful to work with. And then they simply say, and you're standing on a small little bar, maybe 4 feet long and maybe 2 feet wide. And they said, lean back. And you lean back and you basically are hovering over U.S. Bank Plaza, and you can hear people, you know, cheering down there. But who cares?
Yeah,
my approach to this was, as I was going rappelling down the building, they said, stop and enjoy and look around. I was like, how soon can I get to the ground?
That's insane.
There's nothing I'm going to enjoy. And yeah. And so I rappelled down to the bottom, heart pounding the entire time. And because you actually have a lever that's about chest length that releases the rope, and then you drop each time, of course.
And are you in control of this, or do you have an expert that's next to you?
Oh, I'm in control of it. So that made me, you know, I'm not really good at listening to instructions. So when I went through the little instructions, I was like, do I remember what he said? But it was facing your fears, and I did it. But it was very, very frightening.
Had you rappelled before?
Never. And just being up there, the wind and everything, and, you know, you're standing on the top of a 339-foot building. It was
crazy.
That's
insane. But it was all for charity.
Yes.
So hopefully they raised a ton of money.
They all for charity, and they're doing it all day today, where people that raised money and that are over there to do it in support of the North Star Council of the Boy Scouts. So good for them.
Good for you, Todd. Well, you faced your fears.
I faced my fears. I did. I have a worse fear right now.
What is it?
Okay, so I've been out and about all day today, right? And as we discussed, I have other things going on.
Right.
I was in my car and realized that I left my home without one item. Would you rather leave without your wallet or without your cell phone?
I'd rather leave without my wallet.
And I did. And I left without my wallet, but I have multiple events, multiple different places to be, and I'm thinking, I don't have a wallet.
Yeah,
it's scary. I have my cell phone, but I was the same way. I would rather leave without my wallet than without my cell phone.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
we can't be disconnected in that sense.
I know. It's crazy. Well, great things going on this weekend.
If you need some money, I have my wallet here.
I'm okay.
If you need anything.
Okay. I figured out, looking in the areas of the car where you hide a little bit of cash.
Oh, so, I got it. Good to know.
All right. Should we talk about some of the great things going
on? Please, yes.
Okay. Well, you know, this is a music weekend. The music and the festivals do continue. It is Ramble Jam Country Music Fest at Dakota County Fairgrounds. $60 to $150 to get in, and they call it Where City Meets Country. And it's just going to be a fun outdoor festival, reasonably priced, 2 days. The weather's supposed to be great.
Yes.
Just crisp enough in the air, but just enough sunshine. So it should be fun. And we're going to move over to the Bluegrass Festival that is in Lake Elmo Park Reserve. I had to put this on because if you're saying, you know, we spent a lot of money at the state fair, or, you know, kids back to school items, we want to do something, we want to save a little money. It's $5 per car just for that day pass. So it's free to get in. You have to have a pass to get in the parks, obviously. And you go on Saturday. It's from 2 to 6. It's great bluegrass music. Go sit outside. Enjoy it. It's at the Lake Elmo Park Reserve.
Mm-hmm. Sounds awesome. And it is going to be a beautiful weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm wondering if this is where you will be this weekend. Mm. It is also, I feel like we should have a little bumper or lead-in music with Taylor Swift. So T-Swift is going to be at XL Energy Center 11th, 12th, and 13th. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, it is T-Swift Mania.
Don't tell my kids, because they would want to be there.
No kidding. It's $39.50 to $139.50. It should be a great concert. Mm-hmm. I've heard she's delightful in concert.
I'm sure.
Great.
Big show.
All right. Great family activity. Head down towards Stillwater to Ammon's Apple Farm Fall Fun.
Oh,
now, each week I'm going to share a different apple farm that things are going on, because they're all around the Twin Cities.
Sure.
But this one is opening this weekend. They have hay wagon rides, tractor rides, hay bale mazes. They actually even have an orchard winery next door.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, you can go in and taste the different wines. It's a very, very fun place. It's kind of headed down towards Stillwater. Now, since we are in Stillwater, we're going to share another thing that's going on down at the Lift Bridge Brewery. It's called pollination. You've heard of this big movement about how to save our pollinators and the honeybees. Mm-hmm. Well, they're doing this big event. It's an 18-plus event, and it's $12 in advance, $16 at the door. And they have great music by John Munson and Trip Shakespeare, who was, of course, you know, with Semisonic and the New Standards. Chris Koza from Rogue Valley is going to be playing. The Minnesota Roller Girls are going to be doing an appearance. Mm. And they have a great community event that starts in Northeast Minneapolis and rides to Stillwater. And then everybody else ends up at Lift Bridge for this great, great event. And so they're going to be tasting the different honeys. They're going to be sampling many different beers. It's a fun event. Check it out. And coming soon, and we'll be talking about this in a couple of weeks, they also have a hop festival. And everybody goes back into their fields and picks the hops.
Oh, see, that's fun because everyone's drinking hoppy beer now.
Yeah. So that's that we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks.
Sure.
Okay. I need to share this because I thought this was so throwback, retro, kind of just so different. In Princeton, Minnesota, and I know we have listeners up there, they are doing the 50s night at the CMAC Drive-In.
Fine.
And they're showing The Blob.
Oh.
They're doing a classic car show. They're having people come in dressed in costume. And this drive-in is the only drive-in in Minnesota that is right downtown. So you go downtown Princeton, bring your car in. They have food specials. Watch The Blob. Get your launcher out. It's free.
That is so fun. And I think people should really embrace. Get your poodle skirt going,
yes.
Your saddle shoes,
oh, yeah.
Your little twin set sweater. The fashions were so fun back then,
oh, yeah.
And innocent. And then, it's been ages since I've seen The Blob.
Yeah.
The campiness of that alone, I might have to rent it this weekend because it's hilarious.
I know, and it's totally free. And then you can go down, you can reserve a parking spot for your car.
Nice.
But if not, you can certainly go and pull up your lawn chair and enjoy it. So fun thing to do, just travel a little bit out of the Twin Cities and go enjoy something completely different.
I think it's
a great date night too. If you're going on one of your first dates, mm-hmm. and you could really impress him or her by saying, "You won't believe what we're going to do. Drive to Princeton, see The Blob."
Very creative.
Now this is going on in downtown Wayzata. It is James J. Hill Days,
yes.
But unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Dierks Bentley is playing. Mm-hmm. Dierks Bentley is playing for their Beach Bash on Friday night, and I know tickets are very, very hard to come by, but check it out. And Saturday, it is the Bodines and Soul Asylum, and they have a huge festival in Wayzata for this mm-hmm. for the home James J. Hill Days. So go down and check that out. And because they have like a car show once again, a kids zone, a beer gardens, fireworks, they really do it upright. All right, another family activity. We're talking a little bit about Stillwater today, but they have the Grape Stomp Festival.
Oh, fun.
So down at the St. Croix Vineyards, they are doing that all weekend long. They do it once a year. It's been going on for many years. And everybody gets a chance to stomp. Everybody gets a chance to go on this free tour of the winery and the vineyard, and it's just a great music. Food, fun, dancing. And
see, that we might do. They let the kids stomp
the
grapes?
Yeah.
That sounds like a green family activity for
very,
this
very, very green family activity.
Yeah.
Okay, it is also the St. Paul Classic Bike Tour. So if you're looking at getting a little bit of exercise in, go to St. Paul. It's $50 for adults, and students are $20. Youth are $12, and it is a great bike race or biking event that goes all around St. Paul, and the total is 15 miles or 33 miles. Very, very fun event. It's been going on for 21 years.
And we know the weather's going to be good this weekend, but we're getting into that space where things could take a turn for the cold.
So grasp it all mm-hmm. while you can. A couple ones more really quick here. Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. Did you go the other night?
No, but I heard it just came out to critical acclaim. Was it last night or 2 nights ago?
Yes. I wasn't able to make it either.
But I would like to go.
I know. And it just runs through Sunday. Everybody is loving it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more contemporary. They pulled out some music out of the vaults from Rodgers and Hammerstein, and it sounds like a really, really fun
Are
night.
There matinees this weekend?
Yes, there's matinees as well.
Perfect.
Tickets are $29 to $154.
Wow.
Very fun. All right, so for the adults, on Friday night, it's Cocktails at the Castle, All Strings Attached.
Mm.
They do the most amazing events over at the American Swedish Institute.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. $12 for adults. At the door, it is $20. But definitely check it out. Great music, great entertainment, bizarre things. They're turning the castle into a huge, big musical instrument that people can play.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, they're doing a number of different activities.
And if you haven't been, I mean, just to go and walk around there,
it's
stunning.
Beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Last but not least, It is on Saturday. It is the Bacon and Beer Classic. Something tells me my dear friend Jordana will not be at this
No,
one.
We will not. But I think this is a fun event. And I know some people who are participating.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. It is. They have two sessions. Mm-hmm. They have the brunch session, which is from 1 to 4, and the evening session from 7 until 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it is all, I can't remember how many restaurants. I've talked to the organizer, and they're going to just be doing everything beer-inspired, from ice cream to desserts to main courses, and they're going to be doing...
bacon desserts.
Yes, yeah, I know. It's very interesting. And you can have all the bacon you want. They're going to just have bacon out.
And is it a contest, too? Is there some kind of bacon competition?
There's something of all the bacon you can eat, too.
Oh,
I just
gosh.
Started to get a little bit of a stomach.
Greased out.
Yeah, the boiler was like acting up at just reading about it. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And they travel around the country. They've been in New York, Seattle. They're going to Chicago after us. And I am going to actually stop by on Saturday to check it out. And all the beer you want to drink.
That's a good thing,
yep,
right? You'll need it to wash down all that grease.
So we have a ton of events. The State Fair is over. Now it's event time again and so many different activities. So don't sit around this weekend. Take in that great weather. And I think we've given something for everybody.
Oh, something for everybody. The kids have been asking about the Renaissance Festival. So we may have to pull the trigger for that one this weekend.
The big old Renfest. It's going to be busy. Gone.
I'm glad you are safely on the ground, my friend, in one piece. That's why I would never go and watch. I would be too nervous.
No.
Thank goodness. The fabulous Todd Walker. If you missed anything, do not fret. On his Facebook site or my Facebook site, facebook.com/JordanaWCCO, you can find everything that Todd has going on for us this weekend, and we will see him back here next Thursday evening.
All right. Enjoy your weekend.
We'll be back right after the break. We don't have any more time. We are out of time. What a packed show. Boy, we covered some breaking news. We covered GMOs. We covered ataxia. We covered the Jewish holiday of Rosh Hashanah, right? And then we stocked your weekend with lots to do. What did we miss? Nothing, my friends. The high school radio rally is on tomorrow, but I will be with you from 3 to 6 with John Williams. I wish you a wonderful weekend and a very healthy and a happy new year. Lashana Tova, my friends.